this morning we are continuing our sermon series called Unbinding Your Heart. This series is helping us to think about what it means not only to experience the love of Jesus Christ, but also to share that love with others that we encounter both at church and in our daily lives. I was thinking about, as Doug and Tim were talking about Great Getaway, I was thinking about this focus on intergenerational faith formation through storytelling as a really good companion to what we're thinking about and talking about through this Unbinding series. So it's fun to see how the Spirit is working in those ways. In her book, Unbinding Your Heart, Martha Grace Reese writes that being a Christian ought to feel like the most real thing there is. Being in Christ and in Christian community should feel like coming home to a place where you get to hang out with people you can trust with your life. At its best, she says, Christian life holds together two things that are inseparable. It must be real, meaning honest and transparent, and it must be relational, meaning lived out in relationships that are honest and transparent. She offers evidence from a study of 150 mainline churches that are alive and growing. These vibrant churches exhibit real and healthy relationships in three intersecting circles. In the circle of people's relationships with God, in the circle of their relationships with each other in the church, and in the circle of their relationships with people outside the church. Today, as we turn to our scriptures, we're going to listen for how the disciples of Jesus navigated real and relational as they began to share their experience of Jesus. And we're going to watch how, from these three circles of relationship, they testified that God wants all people to know and follow the way, the truth, and the life they found in Jesus. Before we turn to the reading of God's word, let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Merciful God, we pray for a fresh infusion of your Spirit that brings the wind of perfect love, casting out our fear. Honest repentance that leads to healing action, justice and mercy that bring wholeness for all people and among all nations. In your word, may we find good news that unbinds our hearts. Amen. I'm reading now from Acts chapter 2. I'll be reading verse 14 and then skipping ahead to verses 32 through 42. In between are the rest of the pieces of a great big long sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost after the Spirit fell upon him and the other disciples who were gathered in Jerusalem. I invite you to listen now to this portion of Peter's Pentecost sermon. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus, whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we begin with this pivotal day of Pentecost, the day that the Spirit of God swept upon the disciples who were waiting and wondering what would happen now that Jesus was gone from earth. They had been through the disappointment of his death and their own complicity in it. When confronted, Peter had denied knowing Jesus, and the rest of them had run away, watching from a safe distance, helpless and fearful, as Jesus was crucified. Now, with the sound of a mighty wind and dancing flames of fire, the Spirit fills them, and the disciples begin to speak in the many languages of the mix of people who had come to Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost. As crowds gather, bewildered, and people ask, "What does this mean?" Peter stands up to speak. And then it gets real. Peter stands before the crowd as one who knows the realities of disappointment, despair, and denial in his walk with Jesus, and who knows the reality of Christ crucified. The man who once said, "I do not know who Jesus is," now rises to say, "Let me tell you this Jesus I have come to know." Now Peter can also speak as one who knows the reality of Christ raised from the dead. He can speak about the power of forgiveness and love. He can speak about the Spirit that is Christ's gift, bold, free, generous, joyful. What Peter says from the circle of his relationship with God is the real thing, clear, compelling, honest to God, real faith, intersecting with real life. And Peter does not stand alone. Verse 14 of our text says that Peter stands with the 11 when he raises his voice to address the crowds. The 11 who watched Peter rise and fall. The 11 who know all about the promises that were more than Peter could deliver. The 11 who also know their own moments of faithfulness and failure, how they followed and what they learned from Jesus, the strength of their resolve, the sincerity of their desire, the fear and uncertainty that got the best of them and caused them all to fall away. Now they stand together in spite of and because of their shared history. On this remarkable day of Pentecost, they stand together as a vibrant community of forgiven people, learning together, making mistakes together, taking steps of faithfulness together, figuring out what to do with the incredible gift of God's Spirit together. From the circle of their relationships with each other, tangible evidence and real hope and real mercy ripple through the crowd. Together, they are believable witnesses to the grace of Jesus Christ and to the power of God that raised him from the dead. Together, they are a credible circle of relationship that is real. Which brings us to the third circle, the circle of relationship that represents those outside the faith. Something stirred among those disciples when they saw that throng of humanity representing many cultures of the world. Something moved them to leave the comforts and confines of the walls of the place where the Spirit fell. Something awakened their desire to share the experience of love and forgiveness that had given them a fresh start with Jesus. It was the Spirit that emboldened them to speak of what they had known and how they had walked with Jesus in moments of failure and in moments of faithfulness. Spirit-inspired, Peter not only speaks about Jesus, he also speaks to the real-life experience of those he addressed. Fellow Israelites, he calls them several times through the course of his sermon, instantly making it real as he makes a connection between himself and those listening. They not only share a religious background and cultural heritage, they also share complicity in the death of Jesus. And by the time Peter is done, 3,000 of them will share the feeling of God's love touching them. Cut to the heart, they will be baptized, and they will begin to follow Jesus. Where real life meets real faith, that's where the Spirit enters and changes everyone. Where real life meets real faith. At the end of our daughter's junior year of college abroad, Jack, Lindsay, and I spent some time traveling in France. One Sunday morning in Paris, we were walking to church when this building caught our eye. It looked beautiful, with classic window boxes of flowers and fresh contemporary architecture. However, as we got closer, we discovered it was all an illusion. What we were looking at was actually a facade. This was a building under construction. The windows, walls, and window boxes were painted onto a piece of canvas mounted over the structure of beams. We were looking at a facade placed there while the real thing took shape. I don't know anything about the people who would eventually occupy that space. I don't know if it was intended to be a residence or a place of business. I don't know if anything would happen there that would interest me. I would have to get past the facade to know that. And it was kind of disappointing and definitely disconcerting when I discovered it wasn't real. Because real matters. Last winter here at Crossroads, we offered some classes on topics that drew people from both within and beyond the circle of relationships who are ordinarily here. Some entered the building with caution, even suspicion. Because when you don't know anything about the people inside, or when you come with your own set of ideas about God or Christians or church, even more when you bring the residue of hurt from a bad experience with religion in the past, getting past the facade is no small matter. Is it okay to bring your real self with your real life challenges into a space of Christian community? Will you receive support and acceptance or judgment and criticism? Will your mistakes be held against you? Or will you find, as Peter found in his compadres, those who will stand with your real self? I watched people relax as Chris welcomed us in, as he assured everyone in the room that this was a place for learning and growing, for all who entered wherever we are or are not in our relationship with God. Faces softened and stories came out as it became clear that real life and real faith are not mutually exclusive. As we prayed together and asked questions together and applied the Bible's wisdom to the real life challenges around which we gathered, there were both smiles and tears, and I might even go so far as to say, the unbinding of hearts. If being a Christian ought to feel like the most real thing there is, maybe we're on to something here. This morning, as we ponder our real life and real relationships, I want to share you this little snippet of dialogue from a children's storybook called The Velveteen Rabbit. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a stick-out handle? Real isn't how you are made, said the skin horse. It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real. Does it hurt? Asked the rabbit. Sometimes, said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. When you are real, though, you don't mind being hurt. Does it happen all at once, like being wound up? Rabbit asked, or does it happen bit by bit? It doesn't happen all at once, said the skin horse. You become, and it takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily, or have sharp edges, or have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off, and your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand. Friends, maybe real matters, because what real is what God does in loving us and in sending Jesus to be the means of our salvation. Maybe we become who we were meant to be, both in this life and in the life to come, eternally with our Maker. And maybe we get to join the Spirit's work of conversion when we find the most real thing there is in the three intersecting circles of our lives. When we find real meaning, real purpose, real love, real forgiveness in the circle of our relationship with God. When we bring our real life, real questions, real light, and yes, real darkness into our circles of relationship in the church and allow the Spirit of Christ to move in among us with saving, healing power. And then when the Spirit stirs us to take our experiences of Jesus into our circles of relationship beyond the church, where we listen deeply and real faith meets the real life needs of our neighbors, and the unbinding of our hearts changes lives. Full circle we come to the table of our Lord on this World Communion Sunday, after a week that showed us more evidence of the rancor and division, hurt and pain that are rampant in our country. This too is real. We come to a table laden with the gifts of Jesus Christ to the church, that we may remember and experience anew the grace, mercy, and peace that are real for us today. So I want to close first with these words of the artist who created the image on the screen, words about the promise that is represented on this table for us today and for us in glory. She writes, "And the table will be wide, and the welcome will be wide, and the arms will open wide to gather us in, and our hearts will open wide to receive. And we will come as children who trust there is enough, and we will come unhindered and free, and our aching will be met with bread, and our sorrow will be met with wine, and we will open our hands to the feast without shame. And we will turn toward one another without fear. And we will give up our appetite for despair. And we will taste and know of delight. And we will become bread for a hungering world. And we will become drink for any who thirst. And the blessed will become the blessing, and everywhere will be the feast." And so now I invite you to join me as I offer a prayer for these divided times, a prayer written by Presbyterian Outlook editor Jill Duffield. Will you pray with me? We come to you, O God, exhausted by the real current state of our life together, uncertain how to make it better, and utterly dependent on your grace to show us the way. Grant us the vision of your promised future, and give us the courage to take hold of it, no matter what we must do to be the witnesses of Jesus Christ, the bearers of light and life and peace. We trust the one who has called us to do this and offer this prayer in his name. Amen.